from the crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
You right there, Troy?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Good man. I haven't seen you dance that much before.
Dancing.
Woo!
It was like we were saying the other week. One chord, you're fine. Two chords, you're pushing it. Three chords, might as well be jazz.
Wanker. Hey. Three chords, wanker. Hi, Troy, from the crate today. Your segment's up. Your spot on the radio, courtesy of Southbound Records, where you work. What have you got in Southbound Records today? What's in your crate,
well, in
mate?
In the crate today, we got something old and re-released and two brand new things.
Okay, all right. Well, you've slapped us around the head with some mighty fine music in the last couple of weeks, and so you've set the bar pretty high.
Well, all right.
Good luck to you, Troy.
If we've set the bar high, let's start with one of the finest ever musicians to grace the planet, shall we?
Greg Bartlett.
Yeah, there you go. Miles Davis.
Of course. Now, I can't make a joke about Miles Davis.
Now, Miles Davis, in 1970, the Bitches Brew record came out.
How about that, eh?
To a lot of raised eyebrows and horror, but weirdly enough, it became his biggest selling record at the time. And he'd sort of achieved what he had hoped to do, which was to break through and find a new audience. He didn't want to be stuck being the classical jazz guy. He didn't, you know, he didn't want people to go, "Oh, yes, I've heard Kind of Blue. That's very nice, Mr. Davis."
aren't you talented?
Yeah. Oh, what a good boy. Yeah. None of that. Miles Davis, if you know anything about him, did not give a about what other people thought.
This particular album is I've only dabbled. I dabbled at the side because I've sometimes thought, if I get too involved in this, I might never come back.
Well, you know? That's actually right. When you've got an album that is just two songs, one per side,
yeah,
and it is about the, prior to Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all time was Jack Johnson. And
I'm glad that you admit that Muhammad Ali was the greatest boxer of all time.
Everyone knows that. Not only the greatest boxer, he might have been one of the greatest
human beings. He's in my top five human beings.
Yeah. When we were kids, I bet you thought the same as what we did, which was Muhammad Ali ought to have been the president of not just the United States, but probably the world.
That's right, too. Yep. I agree. I've got a Muhammad Ali pinball machine for that very reason.
Yeah. Now, so Jack Johnson.
Imagine Miles Davis pinball machine would be cool, wouldn't it?
Oh, shit. That'd be good.
Trump it up.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that a Miles pinball machine would sound something like his Jack Johnson album. Now, what he did for this, he got John McLaughlin, the guitar player, in. And as was Miles' thing, he didn't want people to do what they knew. He said to McLaughlin in this, play guitar like you can't play guitar. He got an electric bass player who was actually Stevie Wonder's bassist, Michael Henderson. He got Michael Henderson in and said, I don't want you to play any of that bass player shit.
To me, that says somebody who is not only a genius but recognises genius as well.
Absolutely. Mm. The other thing is that the tune we're going to hear, it started with McLaughlin like just trying to do something.
Okay.
Like warming up. Miles walked in, told him to keep going, told the bass player to keep going. Herbie Hancock had come into the building to pick something up, and Miles grabbed him and pushed him in and pushed him onto the Farfisa organ, which he had never played before. And in fact, you can hear it being turned on, and like the first time Herbie Hancock played it. And the way that Miles would conduct sessions is he'd go around and stare in people's faces and whisper stuff to them, whisper all of his instructions. but his solo on this, it's, remember, this is the time when he'd decided, like, Jimi Hendrix, he's great, but I think I could do the trumpet like that, and started using a wah-wah pedal. And this here is probably the closest Miles ever got to... I mean, as much as he played any style of music, this is probably the closest he came to rock music, I think. We'll be right back. So pretty soon you hear John McLaughlin change key, and Michael Henderson, the bass player, doesn't. They're just like messing about. So he doesn't necessarily change key at the same time. And when Miles comes in, you can hear the first blasts that Miles played. It's like correct Henderson. It sounds like he's being told off.
Isn't music cool? You don't make a record like that and watch it fade away, do you?
No.
that one's a comeback day and day. You just forever and ever, because guess what? Awesomeness.
Just like to point out that Billy Cobham is playing drums there too, but that is the simplest drum pattern Billy Cobham ever played. Miles wasn't letting him let loose and be fancy.
Because he had to do that. All right, so yeah, we're talking about this because it's obviously it's in stock.
Yep, it's come back on vinyl again.
Big Thick Heavy Vinyl, good.
And it's come back with the original cover picture. For the last few years, we've seen a picture of Miles leaning backwards playing trumpet as the cover picture. The original picture of this kind of looked. I've always found it a peculiar picture. It looks like Jack Johnson with two ladies in a noddy sort of car.
Good call.
But that's the original sleeve, and it is back.
All right. Looks like you can get caught up in that forever.
Yes, you can.
You can become an addict. And that's out in the stores now on format.
I don't know whether you can still get it on CD. We've only got it on the new vinyl pressing. Good. And as you pointed out, it sounds fantastic, fantastically played and recorded.
Oh, yeah, we're just talking off air about how music recorded then, just you can hear everything just so clearly. And surely that's what everybody's trying to do since then. And, what's it? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know about you, Rihanna. I don't know if you're really thinking about music. Oh, shush, Mike.
Oh, anyway. I'm sure she is, you know.
Yeah. And the people that write us after.
Yeah, I'd perhaps blame the kind of mixing. Anyways, so...
Different segment. Anyway, so next up, Troy.
Next up, we're going to go to London. Now, this is a duo called Binker and Moses.
Cool name.
That's their names. We have Binker Golding, who plays saxophone, and Moses Boyd, who plays drums. Now, this is their second LP, and it's kind of a special one. It's their last album they recorded in one session. This album they recorded in two sessions, but there was two separate sessions. One, which makes up the first record of the double LP, where it's just Binker and Moses as a duo. And then on the second day, they got in the great Evan Parker on soprano sax, and they got in Savathi Korwa, who's a tabla player. He did something on Ninja Tune, was it last year or the year before? They got a harp player.
Do they tell that when they get in all these top level guests? Do they say we're just going to do one take, by the way, or we're doing it for today, so don't fuck it up?
I have a suspicion that's exactly what happened. this album was recorded. There is what we're hearing is the live mix. There is no overdubs. There is no post mixing.
What?
Yep. And okay, you think that's weird enough? This album, which is called Journey to the Heart of the Mountain, it's separated into two records. In fact, I'll have to read what the two
you're
titles
allowed, you're are. Allowed to refer to your notes, Troy.
The Realm of Now, which is this one,
yep,
which is part one, and part two, which is The Realm of the Infinite. That's with the other guests on it. Also, it's a big gatefold sleeve that looks like some kind of weird proggy Yes type album. But these guys are killer. This is, like I said, this is just the duo one. Read out the name of this tune.
Intoxication from the Jabmonishi Leaves.
Whatever the hell that is.
Are you not familiar with the Jabmonishi Leaves? Recently?
Yeah, yeah, I think it was recorded at the end of last year. But their second album. We've got both albums in now, but this one is just out. And boy, there's no way you would tell by looking at the cover of this what kind of thing it is. But, you know, if anyone tries to tell you that, oh no, that jazz thing, that's all dead and dusty and old, and it's like, okay.
Reinvestigate your thinking.
Also, another percussionist on the other side I didn't mention is Yusuf Days, who is from that duo Yusuf Kamal, who people were quite keen on recently, their Black Focus album. But interesting, when we were saying about modern recording techniques, you can hear everything in this.
Yeah, I still think that the Miles Davis one was... I'm just saying that. Maybe I'm just saying it. Just want to sound cool.
Oh, but Miles was there, so...
Yeah, sure. All right, what's next?
Well, after... we'll just hop over the channel at Berlin. Now, Laurel Halo is an American lady who you may have heard of. In fact, I think you have. We've discussed her before on this segment. She has her third LP now on Hyperdub. There was... The last thing she released was... I think it was like a weird EP on Honest John's, In Situ. And that sort of brought more of her going from predominantly instrumental electronics to bringing in voices, well, her voice on it. Now, on this new album, she doesn't just stop at just her voice. She brings in some other vocalists as well and brings in some other musicians. But I think what she's made is, to me, it actually sounds like the fullest realization of what her music has always evoked. If that sounds sort of weird.
Oh my gosh.
The percussion sounds cool. did notice that. What? Is it?
Yeah.
Sure. Cool sounds going on there, isn't there? What's this track called?
This one's called Moon Talk.
Cool, nice.
Now, when we were talking a second ago about Binker and Moses, about, you know, a duo which became like a musical dialogue and what they were doing, I hear a similar sort of aspect in Laurel Halo now, and it's not just simply a dialogue between the vocalists, but you mentioned the percussion. She brings in percussionists. That she doesn't like dial up everything on the MPC. There's another tune on here which is like built with woodwind instruments, if people should got into play them.
I love the woodwind instruments. I love them. The clarinet, the bassoon.
The oboe.
That big one that looks like a great big bong, you know?
What one's that one?
Is that, or is that the bassoon I'm thinking of?
I think that's a bassoon. Whoop, whoop.
I like, you know what I love? I love hearing music, music that you go, here's some new music from somebody, and you go, oh, look what they've done with this. And, you know, like you would think that there's only so much stuff you can do with sound, and there's so many things you can do with noises, but no, it turns out there's millions and billions and billions and millions and things.
I think that's one of the most exciting things about new records is like the possibilities which are opened up every time. Every time it suggests something different.
So it's Moon Talk. Who's the artist? Laurel.
This is Laurel Halo.
Laurel Halo. Now she was originally a producer, like sort of thing.
It was originally just an electronic production thing she did.
It's awesome.
But she just kept on growing, and she's great.
We're repping her right on the radio right now.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is all in at Southbound right now, Troy?
Yes, indeed. Everything is on the shelf as of last night. We put it all up. This one, the album is called Dust, with a great black and white, very un-Hyperdub looking sleeve, but nonetheless.
Is that the moon talking, you think?
Oh, I think it probably is.
Don't read too much into it, Mike. Hey, thank you very much, Troy. Thank you for coming in. Let's run through those three again. We had Miles Davis first up.
Yep, that was a Jack Johnson album, back on vinyl. We had Binker and Moses, Journey to the Heart of the Mountain. And this one, Laurel Halo, Dust.
Thank you for coming in. Looking forward to it again next week.
Righto.
Righto.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.